quote, he would be the top in my mind. The anonymous NFL head coach told New Jersey Advance Media on the condition of anonymity when asked where did he rank Rosen compared to the incoming quarterback class. Quote, he would be the top in my mind. Close quote. And that is...
And that is why the Cardinals are not going to give him away, and why there's stuff out there that they'd rather just hold on to two quarterbacks. Because if you're coming with this weak-ass offer to the Arizona Cardinals for Josh Rosen, in the event that they do draft Kyler Murray, and you're trying to pry him away for, you know, pennies on the dollar, 50 cents from Potter, they're going to hold on to him. Their feeling is that that he's better than Haskins, he's better than Locke, he's better than Jones. You've got an anonymous guy here saying he's better than everybody in his draft class.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's going to take Haskins with the 6th pick, if you're going to take Locke with the pick around 15 to 20, Jones with the pick around 20 to 25, why wouldn't you give up a first-round pick for a guy who's only going to cost you $6 million over the next 3 years because the Cardinals already paid the big chunk of the money?
Right. Stands to reason. Makes a lot of sense.
That's why you're not going to, that's why that, all the talk about not giving him away, that's what they mean. We're not giving him away. If we are going to trade him, you're not getting him for the 52nd pick in the draft. It's not happening.
The coach went on to say, and again, this is on NewJersey.com, NJ.com, which is the website for the Newark newspaper. The anonymous coach went on to say, quote, he's polished. He stayed healthy when he was just getting killed out there. He's a natural passer, and he's athletic, close quote. Yesterday, Mel Kiper Jr., draft expert ESPN, was a guest on the Doug and Wolf show, and they asked him a very similar question, and he kind of took the easy way out on his answer.
There's
no easy way out on this one, but Mel Kiper Jr. took it when he said, well, if Rosen were in this draft, where would he rank among the quarterbacks?
Well, Kyler Murray's a wild card, so we take him out of the equation. I would say he would be number one ahead of Dwayne Haskins. So Haskins is traditional, as is Josh Rosen. You would say Dwayne Haskins would be right behind Josh Rosen, and then with Kyler as the wild card, because he's certainly a unique, separate entity at 5'10". We've never had that before in the first round, let alone the number one pick overall. So I don't even put him in the grouping of traditional quarterbacks. So again, Josh Rosen has value, and this notion he's all you can get is a second round pick. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. We'll see. But I gotta believe if you're the Washington Redskins, would you rather have Josh Rosen or Daniel Jones? I'd rather have Josh Rosen.
Okay.
There is no easy way out.
I'm not letting you take it, Mel. I'm not letting you take a shortcut.
You're living in Washington. There is no shortcut home for Josh Rosen.
I'm not letting you take the easy way out, Mel, and here's the reason why. The Cardinals don't have the luxury to not include Kyler Murray into that equation. Well, take Kyler Murray out. He's the wild card. What do you mean take Kyler Murray out? If I'm Steve Keim, I can't take Kyler Murray out of the equation. I have to judge whether I think Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen is the better quarterback. I don't have the luxury to be able to say, well, I'll take Kyler Murray out because he's a wild card. He doesn't count. Josh Rosen is definitely better than Dwayne Haskins. Well, that's great. That's not what I'm trying to figure out if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. I'm trying to figure out who's better, Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray. So I'm not going to let you take the easy way out, Mel. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play the theme song from Rocky IV and make you understand.
I'm going to send this to you, Mel.
There's no easy... You can't just say, oh, well, discount Kyler Murray in this equation. Why?
How?
How?
How? How do you discount him? There's no
easy way out. Come on, Mel. There's no shortcut. Give me the answer. Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen? Who's better? Don't take the easy way out. Don't quit. Don't not fight Drago. Go fight Drago. Go run up that mountain in Russia.
Yeah.
Go do sit-ups hanging upside down from a beam on the second story of the cabin you're staying out there in Siberia. Go do it all.
Go chop wood
in the middle of the winter.
Build a fire.
Come on, Mel. Don't take the easy way.
Cold Russian winter.
So that's what it bugged me about that answer yesterday, and it bugs me today. I'll take Kyler Murray out of the equation. It's nice that you have that luxury.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. Can't handle the truth.
I can handle it, Mel.
Kyler Murray is unique.
I can handle the truth,
and
Mel.
Every time you watch him play, you're like, oh my God.
Pick one. Pick one, Mel, because the Cardinals have to pick one.
All right,
Cardinals have to pick one.
Okay, you pick one. Who do you want?
Oh, see, come on now.
Well, I mean, I can do it.
I,
You can do it right now?
Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen. Okay. Who do you want?
I'll take Kyler Murray.
That's who you want?
Yeah, I've been won over.
Oh, you've been smitten.
I've been won over. I'll take Kyler Murray.
Are you like John Gruden? Are you giddy?
Man, every time I watch this kid freaking play, it's like, oh, okay, all right. Like he literally might be different than any other quarterback that's ever played in this league. He might be. He might revolutionize the position. I want to find out. I want to find out. I'm good. Let's do it. You know what? What the hell? Really, why not? Sometimes you just got to go for it, right? Sometimes you got to go for it. You know? Did I think I had a
just like another Tom Cruise movie that we can't quote? Sometimes you just got to say,
what the hell?
Well, that's not what he said in the movie in Risky Business. But yes, to your point.
Yeah,
yes.
Listen, you have to ask out the girl to know if you have any chance of getting her, right? I mean, if you never ask her, you'll never know.
You'll never know.
I didn't think I had a snowball's chance in hell of getting Chelsea, but I did. You know, so like, you know what? Just go for it. Why not? Let's see. This could be fun. Go get him. Go get Kyler Murray. Trade Josh Rosen. Go get Kyler Murray. Come on. I'm on board.
This could be fun.
Man, you'll sell a lot of jerseys. You'll sell a lot of tickets. People will be exciting. If the kid flames out, then we'll come back and we'll...
Oh, if the kid flames out, then just about everybody in a position of power over at the Arizona Cardinals is at LinkedIn putting their resume up online. But if it doesn't work out...
But then we can't say, oh, they were stupid. They shouldn't have done this. No, you know what? I'm on board. Do it. Let's do it. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun, man. Okay. That kid is dynamic.
Wow, I like throw caution to the wind, Gambo. This is fun.
No, let's not.
I didn't realize you had this side of your personality.
Well, I never thought Rosen was that good anyway last year. I mean, Rosen wasn't good.
Well,
last year, but we don't know.
I still believe somewhere deep down inside that Josh Rosen's going to end up being a very good quarterback in this league.
But how many times did I come in here and show you game film in which he missed so many plays?
Oh, tons.
Tons of times.
Tons.
Listen,
he was a rookie quarterback playing with a god-awful wide receiver core and a terrible offensive line.
And
his best game was his first game. And a head coach who was a defensive-oriented guy and an offensive coordinator who was just about the most uncreative guy in the league.
I want Murray.
I can sit there and make a billion excuses for him, but at the end of the day, I still think Josh Rosen has every tool necessary to be a not good but great quarterback in this league. Will he get there? I don't know. I don't know if he will. There's no question Kyler Murray's a better fit for there's no question that the parts of Cliff Kingsbury's wish list of the things he wants to do as the head coach of the Cardinals, he's going to have to close off sections of that wish list because of Josh Rosen. He will not because of Kyler Murray. There is no part of what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do with this league that he will have to close off or shut down or black out with a Sharpie because Kyler Murray's his quarterback. It's all open.
I'm trying to get a Kyler Murray jersey by draft day. I want to go to the draft party with a Kyler Murray Cardinals jersey on.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You think you can get one?
I don't know, man. I'm trying.
That'd be pretty easy. Just personalize one.
Just go get one.
Just get a number one and put Murray on the back. You'd have to do it online.
See, that's why Jordan's the smartest member of the Burns and Gambo show. Yeah. You could have that. You could probably have that delivered to your house within 5 business days.
Same way you got your Steve Keim jersey. I mean, they don't sell those in any given store.
No, they don't. They don't. That was personalized. That was 100% personalized just for me.
But now you're all skinny and everything, so that's.
I probably would fit into the jersey better.
Dress on you, man.
When I got it, I put it on and it was a little, shall we say, snug. I need to put it back on again. It might be a little more loosey goosey now.
Might be good.
Sure. I know to reiterate the information that you've kind of discovered about Rosen throughout this process. Give it to me one more time.
All right. So, in a nutshell, let me get to my notes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spring that on.
No, that's okay. I know we're getting close. So, in a nutshell, the Cardinals are not going to give him away. They are not shopping him. And I want to preface this. They are not shopping him right now. There is a lot of interest in Josh Rosen. They're not shopping him, but there's a lot of interest in him. How much interest? More than 3 teams. So, 4-5 teams, but more than 3. Not less than 3, more than 3 teams are interested in him. They do not want to give him away because the feeling is simply that Josh Rosen is better than Haskins. He's better than Jones. He's better than everybody's out there. If they decide to go the route of taking Murray, if they decide to go that route, and somebody's offering him a mid to late second or a third round pick, they're not going to take it. So the feeling is, and I think part of this is to be like, listen, If you're going to come to the table and you want Josh Rosen, come to the table strong. Okay, don't come to the table with your weak-ass stuff. Get that out of here. Okay, because I've got, there are enough teams that are interested in him.
Is that the fourth time he's used that phrase today? I think that's the fourth time you've used that phrase today.
Which phrase?
The weak-ass phrase. You're really,
I feel like, because I'm going like the basketball reference with a basketball. Get that out of
like
here.
Like Dikembe Mutombo, like, you're that, like wagging like, the get, finger? Yeah.
Get that out of here. Don't bring that in
I
here.
That's the, I looked at Jordan for verification. I think that's the fourth time you've played that card today.
Yeah.
Man, you're really...
I'm not the most talented talk show host. You know, when it comes to stuff like this, I'm not the most, yeah, like
go
you
ahead,
are.
Say
like,
something
like, you know, you are, you're, you know, you're precise and accurate and, you know, with like, I might say the same thing three or four times.
That's fine. I think that's why people like us so much. I think we're a little different in our approaches on this, but that's okay.
My point is don't bring that offer. Don't bring me an offer for the third round pick because I'm not going to take a third round pick. So give me a first because I'm going to get a first from somebody.
How severe is the injury to Jake Lamb and are the Diamondbacks built to withstand this?
Bro.
That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So as we mentioned, off day for the Diamondbacks today. No official word on Jake Lamb because there's no like media availability. But that does not stop John Gamadora, ladies and gentlemen, from digging around, trying to find out what he can find out about Jake Lamb and that
do what you do
horrific injury he suffered yesterday. So you did what you do, and what did you find out when you did what you do?
I'm expecting. Okay, I'm going to say off day today. Off day today. So tomorrow, if there's a move, it'll be tomorrow, but off day today, that Jake Lamb's going to go on a disabled list is what I'm expecting. And Ildemaro Vargas will get called up, but I'm expecting that Jake Lamb goes to the DL and that Vargas will get called up and replace him.
It's an injured list now. Not that it matters because I think it's kind of dumb, but they actually changed it from DL to IL this year. I don't know why, but anyway, injured list, 10-day injured list for Jake Lamb, who suffered the injury yesterday. We presume that he's headed to the IL.
And a drive to deep right field. Back on it goes Renfro, and he can't get it. Up against the wall. Peralta scores. Lamb hobbling into second base. Looks like he pulled a hamstring, and he falls down there on the bag. Jake Lamb really... As he was rounding first base, heading to second, either the groin or the hamstring, but he really hobbled in. He's in a lot of pain on the ground.
He deadpanned, and this is from Nick Bokoro's write-up on AZ Central, quote, I don't think I needed to roll around as much, he said, but I'd never felt that pain. It didn't feel good, that's for sure. It's a mental test, so I'm going to find out tomorrow what I did and go from there, close quote. He was in a lot of pain.
He was. So what I'm expecting is that he goes to the disabled list. Vargas gets called up. How long he's out for, I don't know. Again, off day today, so no real information. We will find out tomorrow. We'll be down there at the ballpark tomorrow, opening day. Festivities are going to be phenomenal, but we'll know more tomorrow. But just the expectation that I have right now, is that Lamb goes to the DL, Vargas gets called up, and then they'll be without Souza, and they'll be without Lamb. And, you know, the depth on this team is going to be very much challenged.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Derek Hall was on this morning with Zug and Wolf, and he says the loss of Lamb hurts, but we'll be okay.
Well, we'll know more today. He's going to have an MRI on that quad. It certainly didn't look good and pulled up short, obviously, and that was after absolutely crushing the ball. So that was, you know, tough to see. We'll find out today. But if he does have to spend, you know, time on the DL, obviously we've got guys that can step up, and with the versatility of our roster and players that have already proven they can be here if need be from AAA, we'll be fine. We'll be in good shape, but it's never good to lose a guy that's so important to your offense.
And he highlighted especially the versatility that he was talking
about. We talked
about
how we could move Escobar over to second. We saw it, you know, and then later in the game you can bring Marte in from center field where he can play the infield. We saw that in a couple of games in San Diego. I think he's enjoying the fact that we do have so many guys that can play so many different places in the infield and outfield.
And look, they have guys who we know are capable of putting up good numbers. Eduardo Escobar, he was good for the Diamondbacks last year. Wilma Flores has done good things in his major league career. Ketel Marte is seen by many as a young up-and-comer.
Walker's
off to a terrific start. I mean, they've got capable guys still in that lineup.
It's
got
to be pitching and defense.
Yep. But it was, I mean, it was going to have to be that anyway,
it's
wasn't
have
it?
To, yeah, listen, you could have that little run that they went on, and that was nice with all those runs. They got shut down yesterday. Getting free tacos every night is not the norm. Okay, that's not going to be the norm. Free tacos is not the norm.
I like that. That's a good.
No, it is.
That's a good slogan for the 2019 yes. Diamondbacks.
Free tacos is not. There was a thing there where they got free tacos every day.
Yep.
Hey, free tacos today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and it ran out yesterday. Okay. The taco it's going to run down. Like, you're not going to get free tacos every
day.
The
free taco parade officially ended yesterday. Yes. Is what you're telling me? You're right. Raining on it now.
Yeah. They got to win with pitching. They got to get better pitching. They got to get good pitching. They got a few good at. Merrill Kelly pitched well.
He did.
Okay. Zach Greinke pitched well. Robbie Ray pitched well. Now you got to go out there and you've got to have these other guys pitch well. You know, Godley's got to pitch well. Luke Weaver's got to. They still, no matter how you slice it, if they are going to be competitive, it's got to be with the pitching, and they've got to play good defense. Because I just don't know that this as much as we could say, well, this guy's been good and that guy's been good. They're down Souza and they're down Lamb right now. Mm-hmm. They're not an offensive juggernaut. So they're not going to finish top five in the league in home runs and RBIs and runs scored and batting average. They're not that type of offense. They have to win with good pitching, and they got to use that bullpen. Because
yeah.
The bullpen with Hirano, Bradley, and Holland, and Lopez is good. It's a good bullpen.
Should be good.
Yes, it's
looks good. Yeah. Yeah, look, the word that keeps coming to mind for me when I look at that lineup is capable. Yeah, Wilmer Flores, he's a capable guy. Eduardo Escobar, he's a capable baseball player. They're all solid, right? But you made the point yesterday, and it's been stuck in my head ever since. No Souza, no Lamb. You basically just took 50 home runs off of the docket, right? Now, I don't know how long Lamb's going to be out, so if he's only missing a couple of weeks, it's the 10-day injured list. If he's back after only 10 days, then it's not that big of a deal. But if he's got to miss a substantial amount of time, you look up and down that lineup, and you will see a lot of very capable baseball players. What you will not find is any one or two guys who are offensive dynamos by any stretch. There are no even potential offensive superstars in that lineup.
Yeah,
now that those
gonna,
two guys are gone.
Nobody's going to be in the race for MVP. Nobody's going to be in a race for the home run lead or the RBI lead or the triple crown or... there's not that guy. It's going to have to be a team effort. And that's, you know, and you have guys that you mentioned. I mean, Peralta's a good hitter. Adam Jones is a good hitter. Walker's a good hitter. It's going to have to be a collaborative effort offensively. But to win, they're going to have to get quality starts.
And there's no doubt. This puts a lot of focus on Christian Walker. He's been up to the task so far. We'll see when the league starts to get a long look at him, the inevitable adjustments that are made to how they pitch him and where they find the soft spots and how they pitch around him in that lineup, how they pitch to him in that lineup. We'll see what changes are made. One other interesting note on the Lamb topic, and Spencer alerted us to this earlier. Apparently, Susie Waldman...
Susan Waldman?
Yes.
Roger Clemens is in the box! Oh, my God!
Yes.
I can't believe he's in George Steinbrenner's box! Roger's coming back!
Saw that for the first time today.
The actual video of Susie...
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my gosh!
Well, just the audio.
Yeah, of Susie Waldman losing her mind over...
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back!
Oh, you gotta get the oh, my goodness, oh, my gosh... If you have that part.
Roger Clemens!
He sounds like some...
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen...
I think she throws an oh my goodness in there. Or an oh my God or something.
I thought you were bad with the hyperbole. Man, Susie Waldman, of all the things I've ever seen...
Oh my God! Roger Clemens is in George's box.
she sounds like some housewife from Queens yelling at her kid to get in for dinner.
Georgie, it's time for dinner. Come back for dinner, Georgie, it's time.
Yeah, if there's one thing that most women in America will agree is that they hate women with Long Island accents. Any woman with a Long Island accent.
I think men can agree on that, too. I don't think that's just a female thing.
And Dave's is pretty good, man.
She reported during the WFAN pregame show that before his injury, the Yankees were interested in Jake Lamb.
Okay, what I did check on this, and it is interesting. If they did, If they did, it was internally,
yeah.
And it was no calls to the Diamondbacks.
I'm going to assume Susie Waldman, and that's a good distinction, because I'm assuming she's got some pretty good sources inside the Yankees organization. She's been there for 30 years,
They may
right?
have discussed it internally, but it never got to the point where they placed a call to Arizona.
It's been a weird and wild and wacky season for the Phoenix Suns. So with just a few games left, what have been the weirdest moments for this Suns team this year? That's next on the Burns and Gambler
Roger
Show.
Roger Clemens is in the box!
Three seasons left. Yeah, it's been a long season. Three games left for the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker, done. Tyler Johnson, done. Kelly Oubre is done. We knew about that. TJ Warren, you reported earlier,
done.
Is done. DeAndre Ayton has a sprained ankle. He's not going to play tomorrow against the Pelicans, so with only two games left, he might be done. We don't know for sure. So the lineup the Suns will be rolling out. Thank you. Look, credit them for this. They made that game last night against Utah far more interesting than it probably had a right to be. That was, a five-point game with about 5 minutes to go?
Yeah, 98-93, I believe.
Yeah, it was halfway through game. The fourth. I credit them. They hung in there as best they could, and then Utah went on that big 19-3 run, and that kind of was basically that. But the season is pretty much over. It is a season that has underwhelmed everybody. They're going to have a worse record than they did a year ago, which is so hard to believe given the number one pick and what they did in the offseason. And now we go into this other offseason filled with uncertainty. We had James Jones on yesterday, and he certainly made it sound like he was going to be a part of the hiring process to figure out who else is going to be in that front office with him, right? Not that he wasn't going to be a part of it. It certainly sounded like he was not only going to be a part of it, but that he was going to be a part of choosing who was going to be added on to that front office as well.
Yeah, I think, obviously the Kelly Oubre trade, the Tyler Johnson trade, he didn't make any bad decisions here. I mean, nothing that, since he took over, he didn't do anything stupid. And there's been a lot of stupid moves made. He didn't do anything stupid. So I think that he will be a part of the organization going forward, probably as a GM or assistant GM. I don't know what capacity, but I believe he's going to be a part of the process.
Yeah, he certainly made it sound like yesterday he was going to be involved in that, and some decision regarding his role would be made very, very soon after the conclusion of the season. You sent this to me today as part of our, kind of show email prep thing that we do every morning. Here's what I saw, here's what you saw sort of thing. The five, in what has been a weird season for the Phoenix Suns, the five weirdest things for the Phoenix Suns this year, all right?
Yes.
This is in a particular order, so let's count them down from five to one. Number five, and this was according to the list that you sent me, TJ Warren's mysterious
ankle injury
that just never got better.
No, he's working to get back, and we're pushing him, and he's pushing himself to get back, collectively as a group. We all want him back. We're fighting for something at the end of the season. These guys have been grinding, and it's important for him as one of our senior players, one of our leaders, one of our best players, to fight with these guys to the end.
And I think you said it real well earlier in the show when you said the Suns wanted to do everything they could to make sure the perception did not exist that they were tanking games.
Yeah. Because if you shut the guy down, that's what people are going to think. Oh, you're shutting down one of your best scoring players. You're shutting him down with a month to go in the season over an ankle injury? I mean, can't he get it better? So he's been listed as day-to-day. Now, what I'm hearing, it's extremely highly unlikely that he is going to play in any of the remaining games.
Yes.
So he's very likely done. So I'm going to say he's done. Or at least extremely unlikely that he's going to play. Not expecting him to play in any of the remaining games. But they always list him as day-to-day because they don't want to have the perception that he's
tanking. That being said, it's still hard for me to get over the perception that they shut him down. Because they would say every single time you would ask Igor, every single time you would ask James Jones, oh, no, we're not shutting him down. No, we're not shutting him down. He's on the way back. He's coming back. He's going to play again. It now that I look back on it, doesn't it kind of feel, at least it does to me, I don't want to speak for you, it feels to me like, yeah, we're going to shut him down. We just know we can't say we're going to shut him down, because if we say we shut him down, we're going to get ripped for it. So they just went to great lengths to make sure everybody knew that's not what they were doing. Number four. the whole LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball thing that we went through for about a week a couple of months ago.
Hey, if you get all three, I guarantee you will get championships. If I don't, I will jump off the roof on my knees. I won't even put my feet down.
That's LeVar Ball, yeah. One of his two appearances on this radio station on the same day on two different shows, I might add.
I'm not afraid of Jesus. What are you talking about?
Delivering the classic afraid of LeBron, I ain't afraid of Jesus line.
That are was you drunk.
That was a fun week.
Yeah,
when we were talking about Lonzo endlessly nonstop.
What was fun is I like, listen, went up in Lonzo Ball on. I mean, LeVar. Went up in LeVar Ball on. And then the next day, it's like both shows have him on. I'm like, we should all not put LeVar Ball on.
I don't know if you
knew
this.
Let's all not put him on.
I believe there might have been efforts by our show to try to get him on, too.
There was.
There was a mandate
from the higher-ups.
There was an incentive.
Yes.
Let's just put it that way. There was an incentive to get him on the show.
That's a good way. An incentive-laden mandate from management to try to get LeVar Ball on the show. Yeah. That was number
one. Job, get him on the show. No, not that far. But, I mean, it was a little incentive.
Number three, James Jones and his response to the stories about how the Suns have cut back on their scouting, his response to it got a lot of interesting local reaction.
It's not unconventional. It's just that we're not out there, you know, with like most teams with 12 scouts sitting in the press box talking about, you know, the seven-day travel schedule. We're sitting closer to the floor. You know, our seats, so we get a better vantage point. You know, we're there, you know, four or five rows away from the court versus 12 or 14. We're doing it differently. That's true. But for each organization, depending on their needs, they should adjust what they do.
That got a lot of traction at the time when he said that on our show.
One of the things I will say they got completely ripped on was the games here. What was it called? The Jerry Colangelo Classic?
Yeah.
That was played here, and there were reports the Suns don't have anybody here scouting. Well, they had a bunch of people there. They were just in there. They were in the suite.
Right.
They weren't out with everybody else.
Because
it was their building. They were in the suite, but they had met, there were several people were there scouting the game. So, but they got ripped for it, but they really were there, and that was just a misconception thing.
Second weirdest thing, the whole which Brooks, Marshawn, Dylan.
Oh, my God, that was great. That was my favorite moment.
It was a three-way trade. But between Phoenix, Washington, and ourselves that have been agreed upon. And we were very clear about who was in the trade. Contrary reports, it was not Dylan Brooks.
That was Chris Wallace, the general manager of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, it was the me versus Woj thing that night.
Yes.
I was saying that the Suns were getting Dylan Brooks, and Woj was saying it was Marshawn Brooks. And then I'm like, okay, let me double check this because, you know, Woj is saying it's Marshawn Brooks. So I double checked it. No, it's Dylan Brooks. Okay, it's Dylan Brooks. Well, then I triple checked it. I said, no, the Suns are getting Dylan Brooks in his deal. They don't want Marshawn Brooks. And then the deal fell apart and it ended up being a better deal because they ended up with Kelly Oubre.
Sure.
I mean, they ended up with the best player in the whole deal for Trevor Ariza.
For me, that's the weirdest thing that happened this year.
Dylan
Brooks, Marshawn Brooks, and then they end up making the better trade the next, 2 days later. Right.
And that night, as all hell was breaking loose, I got a call from the Memphis Grizzlies front office, like one of the top guys in the front office of the Memphis Grizzlies, called me and said, I need to explain this to you. Like, this is what we thought. I want to explain our side of it to you so you know. So I was working my ass off that night with all of the stuff that was going on. But I literally got a call from the Memphis Grizzlies that night trying to explain their side of the story to me.
The number one weirdest thing, according to the list that you sent me, although for me this is not the weirdest thing.
Did you say who the list was from? It was from Phoenix Suns Insider on Twitter.
I did not mention that. Phoenix Suns Insider.
They did a really good job with this. So I want to give them credit. It was Phoenix Suns Insider on Twitter, and I got a kick out of it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Number one, although for me it's still the Brooks confusion, but number one for them was Jimmer Fredette.
It means a lot. You know, obviously, you know, being out of the league for 3 years over in China and, you know, about now being 30 years old. I mean, not a lot of guys get a second opportunity to be able to come back and play at that time in their career. So I'm just extremely grateful. You know, I've worked hard and continue to try to come back to the NBA and find an opportunity, find a place that fits my skill set. And I feel like, you know, this team will allow me to do that. So I'm very excited and grateful for the opportunity and hope I can help this team in any way that I possibly can.
That was crazy because it just blew up and it was unbelievable story. I thought the Devin Booker injury in the beginning of the year was fascinating too, because there were people that have absolutely no business reporting on anything because they don't know what they're doing, saying, "Oh, he fell off his bicycle and that's how he got hurt." I mean, these morons that have no clue what they're doing. Go ahead.
Can I add another one to the list?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ryan McDonough getting fired 9 days before the season
started. Yes, that was very weird.
That was weird. And then the whole Jamal Crawford is on an escalator. Jamal Crawford, no, he's not here. What are you talking about? That was weird. It's been a weird year. It's been a really weird year for Suns basketball.
Could probably come up with a top 10.
Oh, we just added three.
We just added three right there.
The Arizona Cardinals on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's draft. You could be there to see it yourself. Text the word clock to 620-620. It's your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville. For the Cards on the clock, ultimate draft flyaway experience is courtesy of Cherish. Cherish all-natural 100% cherry juice. His comments in the past regarding Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen certainly created plenty of negative attention. But now, with a little time passed, what does Charlie Casserly think about the quarterbacks now? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Is he actually in the building?
Jamal Crawford?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, the phone.
At the time, it was a real big deal. We all remember it, I think. It wasn't that long ago. Charlie Casserly on the NFL Network. On Josh Rosen, quote, doesn't work hard enough, doesn't study enough, doesn't connect with teammates, goes off the game plan. Josh Rosen, when you go to your new team, you find out what time the janitor comes in, then you go and open the place up, right? He said all that.
Yes.
Then Kyler Murray, he ripped Kyler Murray during the combine, in which he, you know, questioned his ability to be a leader of a team, and then turned right around during his pro day a couple weeks later, just gave the kid an A+ and raved about it. I mean, it was just all over the map. So today, Charlie Casserly, the NFL Network insider, was on with Doug and Wolf, and kind of, you know, when talking about Kingsbury and the quarterback that he should have at his disposal, here's what he said.
That all should have been solved in the interview. Okay, and it probably was. I would assume all that was covered in the interview. One of the big questions I know they asked to people about was Rosen in the interview, and they told people Rosen was going to be the quarterback. So that did not seem to be negotiated, at least with one of the head coaches who was in the interview. So, I mean, that's covered in the interview. And so, to me, if you had a head coach that somebody comes in there and says, listen, I want Murray. That's my guy. Now, maybe Kingsbury didn't want to put it all on the line on one player. You know, that's something that she should know to do and not to do.
Basically answering the question, when Kingsbury got hired, did Kingsbury say, no, this is the guy I want. I want Kyler Murray as my quarterback, you know, as opposed to saying, no, I can fix Josh Rosen. I can make Josh
Rosen. No, because,
work.
I mean, at that time when he got hired, Kyler Murray was still going to play baseball.
Right.
He was, you know, so this isn't even a question.
Right.
I mean, there's no way that he could have said, I want Kyler Murray to be my quarterback. Kyler Murray was signed by the Oakland A's at a $5 million contract, and everybody was expecting that he was going to go be a baseball player.
Yeah, he was asked if he likes Kyler Murray as a player.
Yeah, I like the player. I think he's a terrific player watching the tape. I mean, I don't know how tall he is. Okay, I know what he measured at the combine, but he wouldn't measure again. So, now, can you win with that size quarterback? Well, Doug Flutie had a successful career in his second NFL career as a 5'9" quarterback. In a different age where you weren't spreading things out. Now, I did something on NFL Network. I sat down with a head coach in the NFL, spent a couple hours of watching film, and says, okay, how do you design an offense for a 5'10" quarterback? And basically it's shotgun, but Kansas City, Chicago, Philadelphia, 75% or more shotgun. So three playoff teams are running shotgun anyway.
Did he not say to begin, I don't know how tall he is? Is that the first thing that he said? I don't know how tall he is, but I know he measured at the combine.
We
know how tall he is. He measured at the combine.
I think that's his way of saying he doesn't believe what was measured at the combine, I think. Yeah.
How could you get that wrong?
I don't know.
You can't get that wrong. You're measured in front of a bunch of different people.
I heard Bickley say
it's like a weigh-in in boxing. You stand on the scale. We know how much you weigh. I mean, I don't know how tall he is, but we just know from the combine. And then he talked about a 5'10 quarterback for 5 minutes.
I heard Bickley say something very similar the other day, which he said, I still don't think that cat's 5'10. Like, well, based off of what? I mean, he measured the combine. You remember in the days after the combine, there were these suggestions that the numbers got jimmied somehow and that he didn't actually measure 5'10"? I mean, there was some serious speculation that he did not, in fact, measure 5'10" at the combine, which seems ridiculous because he's getting measured in front of 100 people. How could you screw something like that up?
I don't get it. I mean, he's 5'10". They measured him.
And even if he's not, he's 5'9 and a half. So what?
Right.
He's 5'9 and a half.
You're under 6 foot tall. You're a small quarterback.
So he's 5'9 and three quarters.
You're under 6 foot tall. You're 5'11, 5'10, but you're a small quarterback.
Yep.
There does come a point where it doesn't matter. You're just small. He's a small quarterback.
Well, I think we're there with Kyler. I think we're at the point where it doesn't matter with Kyler Murray. It doesn't matter how tall he is. He's short. He's short. Live with it. If you're going to draft him, figure out a way to rise above that because you're going to have to. It doesn't matter whether he's 5'9 and a quarter, 5'9 and three quarters, 5'10 and an eighth. That matters anymore. You'll have to figure out a way to make it work.
Kid might be the most athletic quarterback in the NFL next year. The most athletic. Like the play. I was watching a play that he made.
Be more athletic than him in the NFL? What quarterback in the NFL right now would be more athletic?
Russell Wilson?
Kyler Murray might have the edge on him.
But I think he does.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who would he...
Russell Wilson is extremely athletic.
Cam's extremely athletic.
Cam's very athletic.
Andrew Luck's very athletic.
Not that type of athleticism.
But I don't know if anybody in the league can make that that claim compared next to Kyler Murray. I think he'll come in and be the most athletic quarterback in the NFL right out of the gates.
I saw a play where somebody knocked the ball out of his hands. He picked it up and he found an open receiver within about an eighth of a second and threw it to him. Like, wow, okay. Not ball knocked out of his hands. No hesitate. No jump on. Just picked it up and threw it and found an open guy for like a 10-yard gain. Like, wow. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Does a lot of impressive stuff.
He really does. He really, really does. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. The number one pick in this year's draft. You could be there by texting the word clock to 620-620. Your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Experience, courtesy of Cherish All Natural 100% Cherry Juice.
It's a great prize we're giving away.
Nashville. A lot of fun in Nashville.
I would love to go.
You can get yourself into a lot of trouble and have a lot of fun in Nashville. It's a very fun city.
Listen to some country music.
Seems like I don't know if you'd want to do that. I don't know if that's your
cup of
tea.
I've got a country music on my song on my phone right now.
Well, miracles never cease. It seems like a ludicrous idea, but what are the chances the Cardinals draft one and keep both? Boy, lots of people are talking about this now. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.